All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Hobo Frank, Chris Sill with us here in the studio. We've got Barry Parkhill on the line. Real quick, we're just going to knock out the LeClaire Ryan, in this case, player of the weekend, Malcolm Brogdon, who also was named to the USBWA, the U.S. Basketball Writers Association All-American team. The guy we have on the line also was one of the Cavaliers named to that team, along with Jeff Lamp and Ralph Sampson. Malcolm has gotten into pretty good company there, Mr. Parkhill. We talked a little bit about how well he's played all year, but another tribute to him, and I'm sure there are a lot more coming before he's done playing for the Cavaliers.
No question, Jim. Just an incredibly well-rounded player, and as I said earlier, one of the best in the country. And I've said to many folks over the last year or two that 30 or 40 years from now, it wouldn't surprise me if he was president of the United States. He's just not only a fabulous player, but a fabulous kid.
Yeah, and I think Tony has made reference to the fact of what a great ambassador he is, not only for the program, but the university. And I've told people you need to listen to Malcolm Brogdon be interviewed on radio or television and then listen to any other athlete. They oftentimes don't do quite so well by comparison. Back to the basketball program. You know, if we win Friday, it's win number 30, which would be back-to-back 30-win seasons, which is, mind-boggling and quite an accomplishment. And if we win Friday, I think they have bigger fish to fry. You know, we're sitting here. This is a team that has every opportunity to go to the Final Four, and what the heck, you get to the Final Four, why not think about winning the whole thing?
I could not agree with you more, but, again, it's one at a time. But I think we're getting close to being healthy, Jim, and I know Tony well enough that he'll tighten up the screws a little bit and make some adjustments and get the defense playing the way he would like it played, and that's really gonna be huge in making making a run in the NCAA tournament.
You know, Barry, looking at some of the notes from today's press conference, Tony was asked obviously the question about Virginia's lost two of the last three games, and he pointed out it's a very fine line, when you get up against these top-notch teams. He said, the Wahoos led Louisville late, and then obviously they only trailed UNC by one very late in that game after being way down. He talked about trying to be level and then as good as we can be, which is one of his favorite little sayings. And he briefly talked about going back to Charlotte, back where he played in the NBA, and he talked about it being unique times back in Charlotte, back in those days, and a lot of good people, and he actually met his wife when he was in Charlotte, and he talked about the good-natured teasing between Jaminski and J.R. Reed, and that's where he really got his exposure with the ACC. But, don't you think it's a big advantage for Virginia to go down and play in Charlotte? I mean, the Virginia fans can get to this game.
I don't think there's any question, Frank, that it's an advantage because our people will travel. They've traveled well from Charlottesville, Richmond, coming up from Atlanta, especially those who can get tickets. There aren't as many tickets in those first couple rounds as there are as you move forward. But our folks will be there, and I'm sure a lot of other folks, they'll find a way to get tickets, and that always helps. It's always worth a couple extra points when you've got people pulling for you.
Yeah, absolutely, and you're right. I mean, how do they handle? I assume they reserve a certain amount of tickets for each of the participating teams, but there are limited two games in the afternoon and two at night, so it would be four teams for the afternoon session. So there would be some limitations, and I'm sure the NCAA sells some to the local people in Charlotte who just buy the tickets because they want to go to the games.
I think a big percentage of tickets are sold year round. Do people want to go to the NCAA, and then each team gets an allotment that's not huge. And you've got to remember there are players' families who get first crack, which I think they should, and there's staff, and then in our situation, probably everybody else's, our donors, have the opportunity to buy tickets. And, in a lot of respects, because we're playing in Charlotte, I wish we had more. But I'm sure all our tickets are probably already gone, if not pretty close to it. But again, it just helps. We'll have a lot of people down there pulling for us.
We haven't really asked you, in your role, from a development standpoint, anything going on from that perspective that you would like to mention to the listening audience back here in Richmond?
Well, if you mean in terms of anything going on in Charlotte, I know there is going to be a pregame event that's going to be put together by the UVA chapter in Charlotte. You know, it's interesting from a development standpoint, Jim. In terms of Virginia Athletics Foundation, we hit our annual giving goal this past year for the first time since 2008. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. The stock market not being being an important part of that, but I think the success that Coach Bennett and our kids and coaches have brought to the basketball program has really been a big boost. Obviously, we've got a lot of other sports that are doing extremely well, but basketball being one of the two revenue sports, it's just really given a boost to people who care and follow and support Virginia Athletics.
Yeah, the only downside to reaching the goal is sort of like the high jump. When you clear the high jump, they raise the bar on you.
Well, that happens everywhere. Tuition here goes up every year, and now we are looking at cost of attendance versus cost of a scholarship, which is going to tack on a couple $1,000s to every student-athlete scholarship moving forward. So there's going to be a lot more pressure on us to raise the kind of funds necessary to stay and be competitive in all our sports.
You know, one thing I've been following on Twitter and Facebook and everywhere else is the basketball camp that you're involved with. Do you want to share a little bit of information about the Virginia Basketball Legends Camp?
I am not that involved with that camp. I will hopefully I'll be there, try to lend a helping hand, maybe even officiate a couple games. But that is a camp that's being put on by Jimmy Miller, and actually my daughter has been involved in just sort of organizing that. And I think it's a great concept. As Jim knows, it's back up at Graves Mountain Lodge, which is a phenomenal venue for a camp, and the Graves are some of the best people in the world. So I think it's a great opportunity, and I hope it goes well.
It's the only basketball camp in the world where you can gain weight as a camper. the food up there is just fabulous.
Well, I'm sure Habbo did.
I can gain weight anywhere, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard at basketball camp sometimes.
Me too, as judged by the last ACC tournament. But we'll talk to Jimmy and Jill and get them on here, and we'll talk about the camp in the coming weeks and try to raise some visibility for that, all right?
That would be fabulous, guys. You guys are the best.
All right, Barry, we appreciate your joining us tonight. I know you're headed to Charlotte. Get us a couple of wins down there. We'd love to keep moving through the tournament and get to weekend number two.
Absolutely, and thanks for all you guys do to spread the word.
Very good. Well, listen, you have a great weekend, and hopefully the Wahoos can bring home two Ws.
There you go. We'll take them one at a time.
That's the objective. Anyway, Barry Parkhill, former Cavalier legend. We're going to go to our bottom of the hour break. We're going to stick with the subject of basketball. Terry Gates will join us when we return.